Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've got an interesting show planned today. Later this hour, we'll be talking about the push to remove monuments to some historical figures. It began with Confederate generals, but now some want to go even further and are calling for the removal of certain statues of Abraham Lincoln. We'll also talk about another noted Illinois politician, Stephen Douglas, who profited off the labor of enslaved people. Some scholars say those profits also helped launch the University of Chicago. But first, according to a Harris poll taken in April, a third of Americans were considering moving to less densely populated places because of the pandemic. More recently, Business Insider ranked the 30 best American cities to live in after the pandemic based on 9 economic, educational, and demographic measures. Number one, with a bullet, Springfield, Illinois, that is, horseshoes, state fairs. Other downstate cities making the list are Bloomington, Champaign, Peoria, and last but not least in our hearts, Danville. Illinois had more cities on the list than any other state, which could be a boon because Illinois has been losing more residents than any other state as well. Joining us now to talk about the potential for a downstate population bomb is Ted McClelland. He's a writer whose article, Could COVID-19 Spark a Downstate Renaissance?, recently appeared in Chicago Magazine. He's also written several books, including most recently, How to Speak Midwestern. Hey, Ted, welcome back to the 21st.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Also joining us is Max Grinnell. He's an urbanologist, geographer, and historian who studied at the University of Chicago and is currently a professor at the Massachusetts College of Art and Design. Hello, Max. Welcome to the 21st.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And we're also joined by Professor Teresa Cordova. She's the director for the Great Cities Institute at the University of Illinois Chicago, where she's also a professor of urban planning and policy. Hello, Teresa. Thank you for being here as well.
Good morning. It's my pleasure.
Listeners, we want to invite you to join our conversation. Many of you live in the cities that are being talked about today. Our lines are open. The number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Maybe you recently migrated from the big city to a downstate community, or maybe you're just considering moving in light of the pandemic. We want to hear from you. 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. So, Ted, question headline on your article. I'm just going to put it back to you. Could COVID-19 spark a downstate renaissance?
Well, you know, Springfield certainly hopes so. Since they came in, as you mentioned, they came in at number one. I spoke to the mayor of Springfield, Jim Langfelder, for this story. And, you know, it's kind of been a history, not only in Illinois, but in the Midwest, that Chicago is sort of the drain into which all the brains flow. You know, people grow up there, graduate from college, you know, move to Chicago. And I think they're seeing this as a way to reverse that, maybe get back some young people who moved up there. And he said that they're now going to start marketing Springfield this way. And I think that one of the reasons they came in at number one is, obviously, if you can work remotely, work anywhere, but you're going to need Wi-Fi access, which some of these, you know, smaller, more remote areas don't have that. Springfield being the state capital, it's set up for white collar work. They've got their own fiber optic network with 270 miles of cable. And another advantage he pointed out, or that I looked up, was that Cook County, at least at the press time, had 36,000 cases of COVID and 1,900 deaths. Sangamon County had 387 cases and 31 deaths. And here's what Langfelder said. I think you will see a resurgence of less densely populated areas. People don't want to be on top of each other. The trend was for tiny houses, and COVID-19 flipped the switch. And so both he and the head of the Economic Development Corporation said they are actually going to start marketing Springfield like this as a place to live, not only safer, but also far less expensive. I said, you know, somebody buys a condo, two-bedroom condo, for $250,000 on the north side of Chicago. What could a couple like that get? And he almost laughed, because it's so lavish there. You know, you can get a four-bedroom house with three bedrooms and a right. big yard. So, you know, I think that they really have taken this to heart and are seeing this as an economic development opportunity.
Yeah, and just a news update on that. I mean, your article came out a couple of weeks ago. We're catching up with this later. We are up to 567 cases in Sangamon County now. Professor Teresa Cordova, I want to bring you into the conversation. You're the director of the Great Cities Institute at the University of Illinois Chicago. And I see you also served on advisory boards and committees for job creation, economic development in Cook County, as well as Governor J.B. Pritzker's transition committee. I'm wondering if you have any observations about people sort of potentially leaving a densely populated city like Chicago in favor of less densely populated places like Springfield or Bloomington in light of the pandemic?
Well, one of the things that the pandemic has done is made less accessible those things that people like about big cities, right? The ways in which we're able to gather and socialize and the cultural activities and so on. And a lot of that has gone online. And I think there's an extent to which that'll never go away. And this, we will get on the other side of this pandemic. And people are still yearning for those kind of connections, and those connections will continue. But what did happen, I think, for a lot of people as they've been under these circumstances of stay at home or safer at home, is that they've come to think about, wow, maybe I really do enjoy a different kind of lifestyle. Maybe there are other things about lifestyles that I may want to explore. So, for example, people who are in the suburbs and who are in homes could appreciate their yards, for example, could appreciate being at home. People who are in condos were for example, less likely to be able to enjoy those kinds of things and maybe start asking themselves, well, geez, maybe you want to be somewhere else. But what's interesting, I think, and what's really significant about all this is the potential to rethink even our economic activities. Because one of the things that we learned through this pandemic is what the impacts were of having deindustrialized, of having given up so much of our manufacturing sector. We didn't have masks, easily available masks. We didn't have the medical equipment. We didn't have a lot of the supplies. Some of the basic supplies that we need. So there's a way to rethink even our economy and start thinking again about smaller scale economy. So now our activities for a smaller scale economy that where there are many, many kinds of economic activities that then serve more regional markets. So, for example, in downstate Illinois, one of the things that you don't hear us talk about very much that is one of the most important assets of our state is our land. We have incredibly, incredibly rich soil down there. I mean, think, for example, about how we're in between these river basins. And so with such rich soil, for example, there's all kinds of potential for thinking about food production. How might we think differently about how we produce? Hemp, for example, is something that even we talked about and was a recommendation that came out of the Pritzker Economic Development Task Force, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got the enabling legislation for us to be able to do that, but imagine the kinds of industrial activity not only related to food production, but also even related to all the things that hemp can do. So I think we can be thinking about cooperative economies and smaller scale economic activity, because that's really what it's going to take to make for these smaller communities to be really vibrant. Yes, you can have people who are working in big bigger companies who are able to work at home, but you want more than just people who are working remotely to some other big company. You want also to be able to build up, I think, your smaller local economies. And there's just so much possibility for us to be able to do that in downstate Illinois. And then from that, other things will spring.
Sure. And Max Grinnell, I want to bring you into the conversation. Now, you're an urbanologist, geographer, and historian. You've spent time studying, analyzing, critiquing cities. And you've written not only about Chicago, but a few years ago, you went to Springfield, which, again, is the number one city, according to Business Insider, to relocate to after the pandemic. I'm curious, what do you think of that, and what is your perspective on the potential for a so-called downstate renaissance? Do you see it?
I'd like to be cautiously optimistic. I think one of the things that we have learned, and as someone who worked on the Empowerment Zone project in Chicago in the late 90s, which we've now seen reborn, there's no comprehensive federal urban policy, of course. It's all complete chaos. So, I mean, that's another conversation. I think it has, you know, what some folks in the planning world call a lot of eds and meds. Obviously, the university, I think a couple of the healthcare systems are the largest employers in the area. So those are pretty robust, right? Those are things that don't generally go away. And of course, thinking of what Professor Cordova said and thinking about kind of relying on certain aspects of economic development, I think rethinking the reliance on tourism is going to have to be part of the way forward. If you look at any of the aviation statistics for O'Hare, Midway, or any other large airport in the United States, it's, you know, basically dropping off a cliff. And of course, thinking about how that works, I mean, in terms of whether it's Springfield or Chicago or any other kind of large metro that's relied on these things, I think is part of a more equitable conversation about economic development, which I think is going to be increasingly uncomfortable. We see this reflected in a large scale demonstration, Black Lives Matter. And I welcome this. I feel like direct action is the way forward for meaningful social change, not being on Zoominars, as we are doing this via Zoom. So I've kind of gone far afield, but I think this is an important moment to think about wealth redistribution, which makes a lot of people uncomfortable. So I've strayed away from Springfield, but I think these are some things that are ubiquitous wherever we are.
Well, yeah, well, let's okay. So listener, I'll remind our listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. We're talking about the potential of a downstate renaissance. We again invite you to join the conversation, 800-222-9455. And our guests are Ted McClellan. He's a writer whose most recent piece, Could COVID-19 Spark a Downstate Renaissance?, appeared in Chicago Magazine. Also with us is Max Grinnell, an urbanologist, geographer, and historian, and Professor Teresa Cordova, director of the Great Cities Institute at the University of Illinois, Chicago, where she's also professor of urban planning and policy. And Max, I do want to press you a little on Springfield, because I mean, look, I've lived in downstate communities for almost half my life, the last 16 years in Springfield. And I mean, you were here. Some of your observations at the time was that the streets kind of get rolled up after work hours. There's almost as much, you know, I've heard people critique, there's almost as much parking in downtown Springfield as there is nightlife and you know, apartments and businesses that would attract young people to downtown. Do you really think that, you know, the people typically are, I think the story goes, they're drawn from downstate universities after they graduate to go up to Chicago or go to some big city. Do you really see that sort of trend reversing itself?
I doubt it. I mean, I think when, you know, humans are not rational economic actors, right? If you were a rational economic actor, you wouldn't pay $3,000 for a one bedroom in Lincoln Park. But some people do, right? You want that experience. The aspirational qualities of really large cities are well documented, whether it's in, you know, Nigeria, France, or Illinois. Like, people are drawn to them. And reversing that trend, I think, will be very difficult. There are a few networks and connections, I'm sure the other folks on the panel are familiar with, that are promising, right? The kind of development or thought about high-speed rail from downstate to Chicago. But once again, that is a conversation that's been happening for, you know, decades. And I did notice when I was there, I think this is part of, I think I might have shared some of these observations via Twitter at the time, and it was taken up by the paper, is, you know, you think of that granular detail of cities, and they are made by small business owners, conscious decisions by planning departments and other people who are part of what are broadly known as growth coalition, right? The local Babbitts, if you will. I think they prefer to be called boosters. But, you know, how do you retain those people? And of course, if you think about kind of those job opportunities, what if you aren't interested in healthcare? What if you aren't interested in some aspect of working in and around higher education or college?
Right.
Chicago, you know, arguably even Milwaukee or other places would offer a lot more advantage for these young people.
Yeah, and I'm going to try and get in a last question here because we're running out of time. But Professor Cordova, as an urban planner and a policymaker, I'm curious about, you know, what are the forces that could drive growth to some of these smaller cities? A lot of them are post-industrial. They've had factories, plants closed down in the last decades. Are there examples of post-industrial cities that could revive themselves? And again, in less than a minute, I'm afraid.
There certainly are, and it really does involve the economic activity, and I think this is an opportunity to be creative about what kinds of possible economic activities can draw people back. But it also begins with asking people in those communities to think about what are their assets, and what do they want their future to look like, and what are the kinds of things that they can do to build on with what based on what they already have to draw people into their communities.
Okay. And I'm afraid we're going to have to leave our conversation there. There's so much more we could be talking about, but I want to thank our guests, Ted McClelland, whose piece kind of got us started on this conversation. Could COVID-19 spark a downstate renaissance? I would urge you to seek it out in Chicago Magazine. We'll tweet out a link to that at 21st Show. We've also been speaking with Max Grinnell, an urbanologist, geographer, and historian, and Professor Teresa Cordova, director of the Great Cities Institute at the University of Illinois Chicago, where she's also a professor of urban planning and policy. Ted, Max, and Teresa, thank you all so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. So much.
And just want to take a moment before the break to update on a story we talked about last week where the Trump administration had been looking at requiring international students to take at least some in-person classes. There were concerns, including from the University of Illinois and many other universities, that this would be tremendously disruptive to their students. The administration did back down from that. So just a brief update on that story. More to come on the 21st after a short break. Stay with us.